Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
From NPR and WBUR, it's Here and Now. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Good to have you back, Robin.
Well, you know, maybe some listeners are saying, oh, was she gone?
No, nobody's saying that.
But if anyone is wondering where I've been down the road, we're going to have a story on the number of people, everyone, also having knee replacements.
It's the in thing to do in 2015.
Yes,
okay, well, meanwhile, one less Republican seeking the White House today. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham ended his presidential run this morning. He's a foreign policy hawk and made national security the centerpiece of his unsuccessful campaign. And on that topic, security figured prominently in NPR's year-end interview with President Obama. The president talked about his strategy to defeat ISIS and said he hasn't done enough to communicate that strategy.
On our side, I think that there is a legitimate criticism of what I've been doing and our administration's been doing in the sense that we haven't, on a regular basis, I think, described all the work that we've been doing for more than a year now to defeat ISIL.
Let's hear more about the president's interview with NPR Morning Edition host Steve Inskeep, because Steve is here. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Robin.
And start with that. The president specifically saying that ISIS is not an organization that can destroy the U.S. What else did he say about the terrorist group or his administration's ability to defeat them?
Well, the tape that you played hits a vital point here, that when you're dealing with a group like ISIS, the politics, the messaging, the propaganda matter as much, if not more, than the violence. The president's argument is that this group, horrible as it is, has not proven to be that deadly to the United States. They've proven capable of conducting terrifying mass shootings in Paris and inspiring attacks in San Bernardino, but they don't pose an existential threat, the president says. What they do manage to do is dominate the media. He argued that this is a group with a successful media strategy.
This puts a president in a very tough position to try to communicate to the American people that really this isn't that big a problem. It's more the terror that you feel is the bigger problem. Should another event happen, people will say, you told us this wasn't that big a problem.
Well, that is exactly right, Robin. He is trying, he would say, to keep things in perspective. But how do you do that? George W. Bush had this problem. President Bush, after 9/11, he was concerned about people who were so afraid they didn't go out and shop, ended up making remarks about that. And even his remarks were criticized. The president faces this same problem now.
Yeah. Let's talk about another aspect of your interview. The president talked about the American voters who still question where he was born, his faith, and his loyalty to the United States. Let's hear what he says.
What I'd say there is that that's probably pretty specific to me and who I am and my background, and that in some ways I may represent change that worries them.
Steve, your thoughts on that? The president has talked a lot about his race this past year and a half.
He has, but he always talks about it carefully. And he spoke carefully in our interview, but it's there, and he's frank about it. He doesn't say some of my critics are racist, but he says it is clear that some of the criticism of me is due to, quote, my unique demographic. And it was perhaps the most awkward part of our conversation, because we were trying to plumb, or I was trying to get him to plumb, what is the source of some of the anxiety of this national moment.
Well, let's be even clearer. You were trying to see if, trying to say, do you think is anyone ginning this up? And he would not say that. But he did talk about blue-collar men, the major demographic group that makes up Donald Trump's supporters.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about wages flatlining and this group, blue-collar men being out of jobs they might have had 50 years ago. And then he went on to say this.
You combine those things and it means that there is going to be potential anger, frustration, fear. Some of it justified, but just misdirected. I think somebody like Mr. Trump's taken advantage of that. That's what he's exploiting during the course of his campaign.
So, Steve Inskeep, did President Obama make any other comments about the Republican frontrunner, Donald Trump?
Nothing more about Trump. That line that you just heard is making an awful lot of news. If you're a prominent person, it turns out, you just say the word Trump and you dominate the news cycle for hours, if not days. That's just how it is. The president did talk about some of the others who would like to replace him. There's a reference to Ted Cruz, for example. But Trump is the one that he addressed by name. And it is a reminder of how Trump has dominated not only the Republican field, but the presidential race, the presidential debate in its entirety in 2015.
Well, also in that context, he was talking about feeling that voters had been exploited. Steve Inskeep, very, very briefly, you've spoken to the president a few times. Your sense of his mood, the tone?
Oh, I think that he's in a more and more thoughtful mood. He is someone that you always sense has an idea of history, a feeling for history, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, think his policies are brilliant or horrible or destroying the country. This is a guy who is thinking about his place in history, and particularly as he prepares to begin his final year, he is clearly mindful that it will be his final chance to make an impression, however small it may be, in the direction this country moves over a very long time.
NPR Steve Inskeep, by the way, more of the interview to come during the week, and a video at npr.org. So check that all out. Steve, thanks as always.
Glad to be here, Robin.